The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to actors E.J. Assee and Neda Shuhaib, co-stars in a charming new romantic indie film comedy about finding love in Motown's Arab-American community, Detroit Unleaded. Stick around. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this film, but I'm going to try. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you by Amazon.com, Audible.com, and 1-800-DIAL-DJs. Please stop by the website, MrMedia.com, click on our advertisers, support the show. And remember, there's more than 1,000 interviews available at MrMedia.com. We've been doing this since February 2007. Hope you'll find something you like. And thanks for listening. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of young Arab-American women who would fall in love with me, too, if we could just have 10 minutes alone behind this bulletproof glass. In the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Who could not look at E.J. Assee and Neda Shuhaib without thinking movie stars? I thought it when I saw the poster for their indie film debut, Detroit Unleaded, and was thoroughly convinced the first time they interact on screen in director Rola Nashef's debut film. And when the movie ended, I immediately wanted to follow their lives into another film. Detroit Unleaded is a romantic comedy told in a place we haven't associated with romance lately, Detroit. And rather than tell a story of that city's African-American community, this sweet, well-paced film takes us into the city's working-class Arab-American roots. We see a male-dominant society. Nada, as Najla, works for her brother and shows respect for him, but the cracks in that culture are obvious. And EJ, as Sammy, wants to support his mother after his father is gunned down in the family gas station, but what his heart really desires is in a world he imagines beyond his little glass cage, a world built around Najla. Now, there are so many great small moments in the film, but my favorite is when Sammy really, really wants to kiss Naj, but she continually rebuffs him. "Can you blame me?" he asks with those puppy dog eyes. "No," she says, which totally cracked me up. Now, in some ways, not all, but in some ways, this film is sort of an Arab-American version of Kevin Smith's Clerks, without all the scatological and off-color humor. Now, following its theatrical run, Detroit Unleaded is now available for digital download via Amazon Instant, YouTube, Google Play, Vudu, Microsoft Xbox, and Sony PlayStation. E.J. Assee and Neda Shuhaib, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Good to see you guys. I should point out right here that Neda is at work. So
yeah.
If you're hearing people having fun behind her, we're going to have to find out eventually where she works, because I think we're all going to want to have jobs there. It sounds like a really fun place.
Sorry, it's a bit loud.
That's all right. So congratulations on this really terrific film. And I guess you could tell by now that I really liked it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, let's start. EJ, let's start with you. Can you tell me, and then, Ned, I'll ask you the same thing. Tell me how you got involved in this.
Well, I had a friend of mine. He was at a production office, and Rola just happened to be at the same production office. They were meeting. They were meeting with the same person. And they passed each other in a hallway. And they knew each other from other instances before, and they started chatting, and then sure enough, Rola had mentioned that she was casting your film, and my friend Mark at the time, he said that he knew the perfect actor, and he actually happened to have my headshot and resume in the trunk of his car. And so they go downstairs and he grabs the resume, and it's soaking wet because it had been raining that day, and apparently he had a hole in the trunk of his car and he gave it to her. And she still liked my look, and she said, "Yeah, he's perfect. He'll do." So then they exchanged contact information, and he gave it to me. I contacted her, And I scheduled an appointment to go meet with her for the audition. And I went to the audition. I did a couple callbacks. And then sure enough, long story short, I was in the film, you know. So it was kind of like being in the right place at the right time, except it wasn't me that had to be in the right place at the right time. It was my friend. So it was in a lot of ways I considered to be.
Nice. And Annetta, what about you? How did you get involved?
So mine was really just kind of like a, honestly, a coincidence. I was really active at the University of Michigan Ann Arbor's campus with a lot of the Arab organizations, one being the Lebanese organization. So everybody equally got an email that there was a local Lebanese director looking for Arab American actors and actresses to act in her movie. So I was quite the adventurous one when I was a bit younger, and I got the email, and I thought it would be really hilarious to go try out, and it would just make a really fun story. So a girlfriend and I thought we would go together and kind of just have a good time doing that. And then the morning of, when I was ready to go and I was trying to see if she was, I called her and she had said, like, I'm not really going. Like it was almost, it had been like a joke. And yes, maybe it had started that way, but I had already gotten dressed and I did my hair, I did my makeup, and I was ready to go. And so I decided to go anyways. They held it at the Arab American Museum, and I just showed up and I said, I'm here for the tryouts. And I don't know. I just kind of went in. They told me to read a couple lines. They said, okay, pretend you're lost, which I was. Like getting to Dearborn, I didn't live there. So, like, I got lost on the way there. So it wasn't too far from the script of which they had me read. So I did that. And then they said, hey, they called me back about 2 weeks later, maybe even a week later. And they just said, hey, we'd really like you to come back. And I always say this, but when they called, I said, why? Like, what did I forget there? Like, why? What could they possibly want me to go back? And they said, well, we actually really liked your audition, and we'd like you to, you know, audition again. And then I kind of just kept going back and doing it. EJ and I read a couple of times together. And you know, I read with some other male leads, and I'm sure he read with some other ones. But I think that he and I had the most chemistry together. And Rilla just asked me to do it, and I was very happy to accept.
So, EJ, you were already acting, and Netta, you were not? Is that
correct?
Okay.
Yeah.
Completely correct.
It was my first film that I'd ever done, but I had been acting on stage beforehand, and I just received my bachelor's degree from Wayne State University the December before we started shooting. So it was my first audition, my professional audition outside of college.
And so you two did not know each other before the film?
Oh, no.
Wow, because no. I mean, that is the thing about film and TV, isn't it? I mean, when you see good chemistry, it's instant, and you two have this spectacularly good chemistry on screen. It was just it's really kind of amazing.
Yeah. I'm glad that we did.
I'm glad it came across on camera like that. I mean, it's a lot of hard work and stuff, and we rehearsed though for a period amount of time before we actually did the film. So we did have some time to get to know each other, not just in a professional manner, but personally. I mean, there were several times that Netta and I met up and we went out to lunch and we would talk about just life in general, because I think in acting, the best way for a relationship like that to come across on camera in the best way possible is to just get to know the person personally. And that was one of the first things that Netta and I really did, is we just kind of just talked to each other. So
how were your lives affected by the shoot, in that, so EJ, you had just finished school, Netta, you were still in school. How did you make the shoot work with your lives? Cause this was obviously both of you, your first film. It's a very different experience, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, it was summer. For me, I was really lucky. It was summer when they had asked me to be involved, so I was off of school. Now, the only thing that was a little bit of a difficult decision, I guess, was that I had been offered an internship in D.C. For something that I had been interested in, but then this offer came. And I remember, like, kind of going back and forth, like, what's the best thing for me to do? Do I go out on a limb and do a movie, or do I stick to, you know, the kind of the professional route that I was heading? And I ended up doing the movie, and I don't regret it at all. It's been such a great experience, especially because I had never thought I would act, and I don't know that I'll act again, but like it was just, I don't know, it was a really great experience for me, and I'm really happy that it fell during summertime. I didn't have to take school off, so that was great.
And EJ, it worked out really well for you, I think, because I understood that Rola's second choice for that role was Queen Latifah, and I just think it worked out much better with Netta.
Yeah, I would say it definitely worked out better with Netta. I mean, Queen Latifah, I don't need to be beat up on set every day. She looks like she might beat the crap out of me. Not that I wouldn't want to work with you, Queen Latifah. I mean, I would.
good recovery on that.
Yeah,
good recovery.
It was it was kind of a blessing in disguise, really, everything, the way that it worked out, because at the time when I was cast, I was living in Farmington Hills. I'd finished school and I moved out there just to kind of get out of the city and get away from just the hustle and bustle of that area. But then when I was casting the film, my lease had been up, and so I moved back to Detroit, and I actually lived two or three blocks away from where we were filming. So, I mean, going to set was, it was a, basically, if I wanted to, it was a 5-minute walk. But, you know, because I was lazy, I would drive my car over there. And so it actually worked out perfectly. I really didn't have too many problems or issues with my schedule or anything, because like you said, I was done with school. So really acting was the one thing that I was focusing on, and it was just perfect timing, really. It was perfect timing for me.
Well, Rola kind of creates a neighborhood, a sense of that neighborhood as being a little on the edge of dangerous, particularly at night. You know, maybe not so bad during the day. What if you actually lived in that neighborhood, what was it actually like?
You know what? I'll be honest. Detroit's fine. There are some areas of Detroit that, yes, they are dangerous areas, places you want to stay away from after a certain amount of time. But there's a lot of Detroit that is beautiful. There's a lot that you can experience there. There's a lot that it has to offer. And that gas station where we were, for instance, it wasn't too far from the it was maybe a couple blocks away from the Fisher Building, which is a huge building in Detroit. It's, I guess, I'm not sure if it's considered a historical landmark, but it is definitely a landmark of Detroit. And down from that street, a couple blocks over, it's very busy. There's a lot of people in that area. We just happened to kind of be off the main street of Woodward, so it worked out perfectly for us to where you could make it look as if it was a little bit dangerous, a little bit sketchy, so on and so forth. But living there, I never had a problem. I never had a problem there. I loved living in Detroit. The only part I didn't love while I was there was going to school. I mean, nobody likes going to school. But other than that, it wasn't as dangerous as some people think it to be. And I think that's kind of what the film is getting across, that these people, these customers that are coming through in the location, there's just this misconception of how dangerous Detroit is and how dangerous some of the areas are. And the film was basically, I feel in some ways, it was showing Sammy's perspective and his family's perspective and how he viewed it as dangerous and how it was. But then you have Mike, who it's talking to the customers all the time. He's engaged into them. He follows the rules, mind you, like with the situation about doing the coffee and making sure that nobody's in the actual gas station when they're making the coffee, so on and so forth. But at the end, if you know, after you watch the film, you'll see the barrier and how we break it and how we just start to treat each other like human beings instead of criminals. So it's a really good film in that sense, because it shows the good side, and that's what people need to see.
Now, I saw in the featurette that comes with the Detroit Unleaded, the disc, that Rola, the director, wanted to capture kind of the Lebanese and Arab-American community in Detroit as she knows it. And mm-hmm. I wondered if that community rings true for either of you. I don't know exactly what your background is in terms of ethnic, but did it ring true for either of you, that experience?
Netta, you can go ahead and...
Yeah, I grew up in a really Arab community, and what I mean by Arab is that my parents' friends were all Arab, and I grew up with, like, at the homes of all of our family friends and all their kids and stuff like that. I didn't grow up in a community. Like, I grew up in a suburb that did not have a lot of Arabs. It was predominantly white, I would say. But my parents made a really good point of getting really active with all the different organizations that Arabs were part of. And so for me, that was really, really true, that we do have our own little culture and our own little world. And the way that we get through is a little with a little bit of a twist. And it's something that still rings true. Even for me now, I'm a first generation born and raised. But, you know, there are some things that are culturally still in me that maybe, you know, other communities don't have that, or in their own way they do. But I know that the movie was definitely not too far-fetched for me at all. I think that was one of the reasons that the role did fit me, was because there was a little bit of me and Naj.
Well, it's interesting. I don't want to give away too much, but what we kind of see is that Naj is dealing with she works for her older brother in the store. She tries to be respectful of him as the male in the household, I guess. And yet she wants to have a life. She wants to – she met this boy, Sammy. She instantly – that's why I say chemistry. We didn't even need to be told that she had fallen for Sammy. I mean, it was clear she had fallen for Sammy. Now, Sammy, on his part, he understands, particularly because just the culture that he's in, that he should ask – Naj's brother for permission to date, and he can't bring himself to do that. And he's kind of balancing this. And then there's this one great scene. What can I give away? There's a great scene where Naj's brother confronts Sammy, and Naj becomes very submissive to her brother. You can see that it's tearing her up to do this, but it's kind of the fallback position. She goes to that. She doesn't necessarily – we don't necessarily believe that she feels it, but she feels it's the right thing to do. And that's, I think most Americans, that's some cultures, not just Arab American. There are some cultures around the world where we know that's obvious, but we haven't exactly seen a lot of that of the Arab American mm-hmm. community. So I thought that was really interesting. That wasn't a question. It was just a long-winded statement.
Yeah. No, I think that you're right. There's a very strong sense of family in our community. And I think sometimes maybe it's not always understood, but there is a strong sense of family and obligation to family, loyalty to your family. And it is something that is maybe an old generation thing, but I don't know, my siblings are my best friends, and my parents are the most important thing in the world to me, and everybody else, unfortunately, I don't want to even say unfortunately, they're second. So I mean, that wasn't too far that Naj felt, you know what, her brother is her brother and her blood at the end of the day, and she needed to respect that relationship and keep that relationship strong. And she ended up finding a way to balance the two relationships, but she wanted to do it the right way, and I think that she handled it properly.
So there's all this chemistry on screen between the two of you. I have to ask because I'm curious. That's the only reason I have to ask. It's not like a rule, but I mean, did you guys ever feel that personally? I don't know if you have other relationships going on, but you know, did you ever want to kind of investigate that yourselves? Sorry,
we're both in relationships.
Yeah,
I'm engaged. So
she's engaged. Yeah. And actually, during the time, to open you up a little personally into my life, I actually had just got out of a relationship. So I was like shunning women from my life, really, if anything. So, at the time, Netta was actually the only woman involved in my life, her and Rola, when we were shooting the film. So, there's no romantic aspect, or we weren't searching for each other romantically outside of the film. No, but
no. EJ provided a really good friendship for me, like on a professional level, because I had never acted. And so like, it was really wonderful that, there was actually zero, let's see, what are the right words? There were no feelings, more than what were necessary for the movie between us, which was
completely platonic.
Yeah, it was very platonic. So that kind of helped, you know. I didn't have to question how I was behaving or how he was behaving, because we both were taking it as a professional job. So it was really, really nice, actually, for me. And I appreciated that a lot.
Nice. Not the story I necessarily wanted to hear, but okay.
Yeah, sorry. We should have just went with it. Damn.
Just lied. Well, actually, we were engaged off of camera, but the engagement broke up. Long story short,
okay.
I went.
Well, all right. So I probably should ask you this question before that question, but I'll go ahead anyway. Talk a little bit about the sleeping arrangements in the cashier booth, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
Double decker style.
No. So the character Sammy, he never thought to do that until Najla actually showed that to him. Are you talking about the specific any of the specific scenes, or just in general?
No, just in general. That, you know, there's it's kind of like an old fashioned train situation where there's,
yes,
there's the bed underneath and the bed above, and
yes,
you guys communicate a lot with your hands and with words. There's, and I got to point out, there's no sex in the movie, folks. Don't. It's a very sweet romantic comedy, but there's this whole thing that's it's unspoken. EJ is kind of lying on the bottom, and then Netta is, as their characters, is on top, and we see they communicate a lot through their hands. It's just a lot of contact and communication. It's a lovely, you know, every time you're in that situation, it's really a lovely scene.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the big things that Rolla wanted to get across was as this barrier, this guard that was between the two of us with those scenes where we were falling for each other intimately, but there was just something that was keeping us, I guess, from each other. And so having her laying on the top, the board is the barrier, I guess that would simplify, that she's laying on, and then there's me. And the hands are the connection of the hands is a way of saying that we've found a way kind of around it or through it, and we're making this connection now. It's just eliminating the barrier is the difficult part, and that's very true for Arab relationships, I believe, these days. There's always something that's kind of hindering you from actually falling in love or finding the one that you love, or so on. So the imagery, when you watch the film, you'll be able to see it. Like you said, you'll be able to see it clearly, and you see the intimacy between just the hand movement and the touching of the hands and so on. And that's what Rolla really wanted to get across. Like, she didn't want, you know, the whole cheesy sex appeal kind of groping each other thing. She wanted something very intimate and sensual and something classy, for the lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm. And it seemed to reflect the implied propriety of relationship between a young Arab American woman and a young Arab American man, or as the society, I think, would want it to be, and that it worked. I mean, it sends a great message to kids who are actually in that situation that, hey, this can work. These two found a way. You know, they're not having sex in this movie, but they found a way to communicate physically and emotionally, and mm-hmm. You know, it's very sweet.
And
I mean, the movie also has, I think, this great lesson in it for future filmmakers about the power of small, confined spaces.
Yes.
You two spent a tremendous amount of time during Detroit Unleaded in what could be considered claustrophobic conditions. Do either of you have any issues with that?
No, I didn't. It only bothered me that it was summer and we didn't have air conditioning, and it was really hot in there. And there would be times where I swear my upper lip was sweating. Like, it was so warm. But other than that, it wasn't really that bad. I don't know. No, I didn't mind it.
Right, now I want to go back and look for those moments of your upper lip.
Yeah, no, it was hot. It was very hot. It was August.
No, I think that was just EJ. I think that was the chemistry. See, that's what I'm saying.
What can I say?
And so, how would you describe Rolla in terms of her romantic tendencies? Did you see her vision of how this was a romantic film? And you know, did that work for you guys?
I mean, for me personally, yeah. We had a lot of time to discuss things beforehand before we actually got into shooting, and Rolla was very. She was collaborative. I mean, she knew exactly what she wanted, but she was very collaborative in the sense of how we got there. So she would let us put our opinion in, and we would weigh it out, and we would get there eventually. And I get her vision on the romantic side of the film was something I think all of us agreed with from the start, because we, like, it's a cultural thing, and it was something that we all understood very well. So, yeah, it was nice. It was easy, really.
Now, EJ, you can't see Netta, right now?
No.
Okay, so let me tell you something. Here's another reason that this woman works on film. She has very subtly moved her right hand, and it's just kind of under her neck and under her under her coat or her whatever she's wearing there. And I'm going, holy crap, this woman is amazing.
Oh, my God.
So I just want to say that. See, there it is. You'll see it later on the film.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know why I do that from time to time. I put my hand on my own neck.
Is she like going like this?
It's a little bit under the neck. Yeah, yeah, something like that.
Oh
yeah.
My God, that's funny.
Very hot, Netta. Thank you very much. I'm the only one able to appreciate it now, but a lot of people will soon.
Well, I look forward to seeing that.
So, let me ask you each this: tell me something that you learned about the other person from spending so much time in a bulletproof glass cage together.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to start, EJ, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
What I learned, I think, about EJ is that he is extremely passionate about his profession. And I really, that was really, really inspiring. EJ is a serious actor. He loves what he's doing. He's passionate about what he's doing. He does it with his heart. And I think that for me, because I had never acted, I had to be casted with somebody who was that powerful, because I didn't have that power in myself at the time. So I think that that was really inspiring for me to be a part of.
EJ?
Thank you, Netta.
Mm-hmm. EJ, something you picked up about
your turn?
Netta? Yeah.
For me, it's funny that you mentioned that. It's the exact opposite. Like sometimes I can find myself when I'm acting, I can get too tense and too serious in some moments. And working with Netta, I learned a lot from her because it was her first time. I learned a lot from her because I've done training. I've been training in acting. I've been taking classes and studied abroad, going to other countries, and sometimes it can take you out of living in the moment. And really, I learned from Netta to live in the moment and enjoy it for what it is, and just go from there. And I've actually been able to carry that lesson along with me in other films that I've worked in. And I've been given notes from other directors that I've worked with before, and they've said, "Wow, you really live in the moment." And every time that I hear that, I say, man, I'm happy that I worked with somebody who hadn't worked on a film, because it was nice to get this fresh perspective on what we were doing. Because so many times as actors, you're working with other actors and they've done training and they've done other films and they've been involved in things. They've been doing it for this long and this long. And although the experience is great, like for instance, working with Mike Bataille, he had the experience. It was awesome learning the experience from him. But the inexperience is something that I really gained from Netta that really just helped me relax. And it's so hard sometimes to just relax on set or relax in front of a camera. And one of my favorite things about Robert De Niro is that he looks so comfortable in front of the camera. And watching his movies, I sometimes ask myself, how does he do it? How does he just look so natural in front of the camera? And that's what's nice about Netta. She, like, when you watch the film, she looks very natural and comfortable in front of the camera because she's living in the moment and enjoying herself. So I took that as a huge note for myself that I need to do what she's doing. I need to just enjoy myself. And I feel that at some points throughout the filming process, I was taking on that note from her. So I thank you, Netta, for that. I really do appreciate
You're
it. You taught me a lot in that sense.
Nice. Well, so tell me this. What's next for each of you? EJ, I gather from what you just said that you've continued to act. You've done some other film work. What else do you have coming up?
I have a couple of things coming up. I did a film a while back, a Gus Van Sant movie called City of Gold. He's the executive producer on it. He wasn't directing it. And so I'm not sure when that's releasing. I have another film that I'm actually coming to Michigan to shoot in June. That's still a working title. So I'm working on that. We're doing Skype rehearsals, actually, is what we've been doing lately. Because, like I said, I'm coming back to Michigan. And then I have another film that I'm doing in Boston come March 30th. I've been doing like little projects here and there, working on films. A film that I'm waiting for it to come out is called. They keep changing the film, so I don't know what it's called now. They keep changing the title of the film. It used to be called Aphids. Then it was Rape of the Aphids. now it's an affected something. I can't remember. They keep changing the title on me. So I have a lot of stuff right now in post-production, basically, that I'm just waiting for to come out. And you'll see it hopefully on, you know, on video on demand or Hulu and so on. But really, I'm just auditioning, you know, just auditioning and working and trying to get involved in more projects and just trying to live each moment one at a time. So,
and Netta, what about you? Obviously, you're in an office now.
Yeah, so I do work full time. I work at Quicken Loans in Detroit. So I'm here full time, but I've been approached on some things, and I would have to be approached with a project that is as inspiring and as good as the one that Rilla, I think, put me in, because I now have really high standards in terms of what projects I like and what I want them to be, what they stand for. And this was one that I had loved with the Detroit Unleaded. Now, I haven't signed on for anything, but I'm always open to them, and I've explored some, and there are some that are being explored, but nothing yet since Detroit Unleaded.
Well, here's what I think. I would love to see the two of you in the movie that follows the story that ends in Detroit Unleaded. I think it'd be great to see, you know, in whatever, well, I don't want to give away, however, whatever your lives take. But the other thing I think that would be fun would be a film of Naj and her girlfriends, because
that's
the
funny
scenes in the car are hysterical. And, you know, Night at the Roxy was those SNL characters a few years ago, but the same type of thing with Naj and her girlfriends, I think, would be hysterical.
So. Bob, that is really amazing and perceptive of you to notice, because actually Rilla's next movie is going to be about those. I don't know about those four girls, but it's going to be about four girls very much rounded around the same humor. So I'm looking forward to that, and I would love to be in that movie.
Well, it's probably unlikely that Rolla will see this, haha. But, you know, take the hint, Rolla. All right. Folks, listen, watch for Detroit Unleaded, directed by Rolla Nashef and starring E.J. Ossie and Netta Shuhayib. I knew I was going to get it wrong. You say it for me,
you're
please.
Shuhayib.
Shuhayib. All right, Shuhayib. Yeah. It's available now via digital download from Amazon Instant. I can't say Amazon either, so, you know, just so we're clear. Amazon Instant, YouTube, Google Play, Vudu, Microsoft Xbox, and Sony PlayStation. You can also order it at a great price on DVD right now from MrMedia.com. And if you're watching this interview on MrMedia.com, just below the screen is the cover of the film, the DVD box. That's right. EJ's pointing to it. Just click on that right now. You can have it delivered to you in a day or two.
I've always wanted to do that.
I am so happy to accommodate. So the website for the film is DetroitUnleaded.com. And are each of you available, either of you or both of you, on Twitter, Facebook, anything like that?
I'm on Facebook.
I'm on Facebook and Twitter, yeah.
Okay, so we can find you there.
Yeah.
EJ, Netta, it was delightful to watch the movie. I enjoyed every minute of it, and having the two of you on the show was no disappointment either. Thank you both.
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. And go Detroit Red Wings.
Got to get that in there. Thank you both, and much good luck on the film and in the future.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you. We appreciate this very much.
The preceding presentation was brought to you by The Realm Network.